I now invite our second speaker, Protopresbyter Paraskevas Agatonos, Doctor of Theology and a specialist in liturgics, to present his paper, The Contribution of Elder Joseph the Hesychast and of Mount Athos More Broadly to Modern Cypriot Monasticism. Your Eminence, Venerable Elders and Eldresses, Reverend Fathers, Beloved Brethren, in the interest of time, I should say that I am omitting 70% of this section of the paper. It will be included in the published proceedings that are to follow. By modern Cypriot monasticism, we mean a period spanning the last 130 years in the life history and course of Orthodox monasticism in Cyprus. This period begins in the final quarter of the 19th century. More precisely, it begins in 1875 and extends to the present day when Cypriot monasticism, having suffered for centuries, has attained a renewal in every respect. After approximately three glorious centuries under the Byzantine Empire, during which ecclesiastical and spiritual life was restored and monasticism flourished, Cyprus fell into the hands of the Franks in 1192. The many kinds of injury and impoverishment, especially spiritual impoverishment, that the papal mentality inflicted upon the body of the Church of Cyprus during Frankish rule were not remedied under the Ottoman rule that followed, nor was any effort made to overcome them during British rule. Thus, the island's successive conquerors preferred a church that was spiritually weakened and diminished in its foremost spiritual vanguard, monasticism. The defining features of monasticism in Cyprus at the beginning of the period under discussion were, thank you. As it emerged from seven centuries of subjugation to the Franks and the Turks, its defining features were a decline in numbers, both of monasteries and of monastics, spiritual poverty and economic destitution. Moreover, time had relentlessly left its marks upon the few remaining monastic buildings. During this period, the Cypriot Athonite monk Hierodikon Dionysios Christidis arrived in Cyprus from the Skete of Kafsokalivia. As we shall see, his wide-ranging monastic work in Cyprus made a decisive contribution to the renewal of traditional Orthodox monasticism on the island. Dionysios was born in the parish of St. Cassianos in Nicosia. Before becoming a monk on Mount Athos, we find him serving as a deacon in the metropolis of Kichon in 1860. According to oral testimony, he later served as a deacon at the Ecumenical Patriarchate. From there, he most likely departed for Mount Athos, and specifically for the Caliph of St. Caralambos, at the Skete of Kafsokalivia. In 1875, we find him living as a monk at Plelekia, near the village of Kornos. That same year, after a small brotherhood of five had gathered around him, he sought a more suitable place in which to settle and pursue the monastic life. He therefore rented the abandoned monastery of the Precious Cross at Stavrobouni. After extensive and costly repairs, they settled there for 2.5 years. This information, along with other details about his first small brotherhood, his effort to establish a cenobitic community at Stavrobouni, modeled on Mount Athos, and the reasons they were compelled to return to Mount Athos, comes from a manuscript belonging to Stavrobouni Monastery. It states, in the year of Christ, 1875, I, Dionysios, a Cypriot hierodeacon from Athos, came to Cyprus with one disciple named Polycarpos, whom I later made a monk and hieromonk. We petitioned the aforementioned metropolitan for the said monastery, and it was granted to us. Then comes the point of particular interest to us, so that with God as my fellow worker, I might make it a cenobitic monastery like those found on Mount Athos. I should add that because of their poverty and heavy expenses, Dionysios was unable to remain at Stavrobouni. He and his brotherhood subsequently departed for Mount Athos, where he remained for 4 years before returning to Cyprus in 1882, according to a note in a Codex of Truditisa Monastery on August 16, 1882. While Germanos was abbot, Dionysios was granted a small cell at Anafani, a dependency of that monastery. Dionysios remained in this cell for 6 years, devoting himself chiefly to iconography. Yet his great desire was to return to Stavrobouni Monastery and restore it to operation, which he accomplished in January 1889. Dionysios' second settlement at Stavrobouni followed the Great Fire of 1888, which had completely destroyed the monastery. Its reconstruction and reopening once again required arduous labor. To raise funds, he traveled as far as Egypt and Mount Athos, before his second settlement at Stavrobouni. An agreement was drawn up between Dionysios and the vacant metropolis of Kichon, which was then administered by a diocesan committee headed by Archimandrit Meletios. This document, dated January 24, 1889, is preserved in a codex of the metropolis of Kichon. Among other things, it contains the very interesting statement that Dionysios was to draw up a rule for Stavrobouni Monastery following the system of the cenobitic monasteries of Mount Athos, and that this rule was to be submitted for the approval of the Archbishop of Cyprus. Dionysios' desire to establish a cenobitic community modeled on the Athonite monasteries was expressed yet again for the third time in the monastery's codex in 1889. In a note written in his own hand, Dionysius states, Sacred Codex of the Monastery of the Precious Cross of Theocremastos, in the year 1889, marking the beginning of the era of Dionysius the Monk and the monastery's new restoration according to the order and rules of the sacred and venerable monasteries on the holy mountain of Athos. Dionysius's effort to organize the monastery according to the Athonite Typikon was not confined to drafting a rule and introducing a thoroughly Athonite cenobitic schedule. It also extended to the persons who would form its brotherhood. The monks sought on Mount Athos the first nucleus of fathers who would staff the monastery as it took its first steps as a cenobitic community. Thus, when he went to Mount Athos in 1890 to raise funds, he invited the brothers by birth Barnabas Kalinikos and Grigori and brought them back with him to Stavrobouni. These three fathers came from Kaimakli in Nicosia and had already lived as monks for 10 years. Barnabas at Karakalou Monastery and the hero monks Kalinikos and Grigori at the Caliph of St. George in the Skete of St. Anna. 15 years later, Dionysius achieved what he had envisioned from the outset. Very soon, the brothers by birth Paisios and Damaskinos also joined the brotherhood, together with hero monk Makarios, the future abbot Dionysius II and the monk Cyril. From this spiritual root planted by the founding monk Dionysius, as Elder Joseph of Vatopedi calls him, sprang two abbots who guided Stavrobouni Monastery along the same spiritual path and according to the same Athonite monastic principles introduced by their elder. We should not forget that one of them, Barnabas Karalambidis, had lived as a monk at Karakalou Monastery for 10 years, as we have said, before joining Dionysius's brotherhood. From this same route also came the staffing and conversion of the monastery of the Most Holy Theotokos at Truditissa into a cenobitic community in 1939, through the monks Paisios and Damaskinos. It was founded on precisely the same basis as Stavrobouni, and thus on Athonite foundations. I should also mention briefly the contribution made to preserving the cenobitic system in Cyprus by Father Papakyprianos of Stavrobouni. He began his monastic journey at Stavrobouni, went on to Mount Athos, and returned to Cyprus after 2 years there. He then assumed the spiritual guidance of both Stavrobouni and many individuals. He also embraced the newly emerging women's monasticism in Cyprus with particular affection and supported it through his strong presence. There was the Monastery of St. Anthony, the Monastery of St. Anthony, from whose community the Monastery of St. George Alamanos was staffed. I would therefore say that, at least by way of conclusion, an effort was being made at that time to establish women's monasticism as well upon Athonite foundations. Elder Joseph, now of Vatopedi, was also first initiated into this newly formed Athonite Stavrobouni monastic tradition. In 1937, at the age of 16, he too placed himself under obedience to Barnabas, Charalambidis, the monastery's second abbot following its renewal. As has been said, Father Joseph was born in the village of Druseia in Paphos in 1921. He completed primary school and entered Stavrobouni Monastery, where he remained for 16 years. Then in 1946, he departed for Palestine, where he lived for 4 months. Afterward, he went to Mount Athos, specifically to the Skete of St. Anna, where in the summer of 1947, he joined the Brotherhood of Elder Joseph. Forgive me, Father Joseph remained at Stavrobouni for 9 years. After the repose of Elder Joseph the Hesychast, Father Joseph remained for some time at Nea Skete, to which the entire Brotherhood had already moved with their elder's blessing. He then lived for a short time at Kutlou Museo Monastery. Through the mediation of Father Athanasios, now Metropolitan of Limassol, he became acquainted with Metropolitan Chrysostomos of Paphos. In August 1978, he came to Cyprus, where the Metropolitan of Paphos entrusted him with restoring the Monastery of the Precious Cross at Mindis. On March 26, 1979, the Sunday of the Veneration of the Cross, the Metropolitan of Paphos installed him as abbot and head of the small brotherhood then living there. The Metropolitan of Paphos desired the monastery to be reopened on sounder foundations. In an address, the then Metropolitan of Paphos observed, "Both the abbot of the new monastery and its present fathers are adorned with the virtues of the true monk, virginity, poverty, and obedience. I shall omit a large section." Having been nurtured at the wellsprings of genuine Orthodox monasticism, Father Joseph knew very well that hesychasm in its spiritual sense as a way of monastic ascesis was the purpose for which a person renounces the world and enters a monastery, a cenobitic community. From the beginning, therefore, he took care to lay the sound foundations upon which he would build his small brotherhood. One of his first actions, clearly following the practice of Mount Athos, was to introduce the institution of the abaton, the restriction on entry. He implemented this toward the end of 1979, when he formally declared the monastery an abaton, opposition to the abaton, together with other slanderous rumors about Father Joseph, compelled him to leave Mindis Monastery near the end of 1981 and return to Mount Athos with his small brotherhood. After staying for a short time at the Chell of the Annunciation in Kapsala, they moved briefly to Karakalou Monastery and finally settled at the Chell of the Annunciation in Nea Skete. New spiritual struggles awaited them. With the ascetic rule and spiritual counsels bequeathed to them by their elder, Joseph the Hesychast, as their sacred trust and inheritance, they devoted themselves to ascesis, prayer, nepsis, watchfulness, and obedience. Thus, they ordered their daily schedule according to the pattern followed by the Brotherhood of Elder Joseph. They kept vigil in their cells almost every night until an appointed hour, and then gathered in the church for the celebration of the Divine Liturgy. The vigil began shortly after compline. It included each monk's personal canon, spiritual reading, and the Jesus prayer with the prayer rope. The office in the cell lasted until midnight. Then, as already mentioned, it continued and was brought to completion in the church with the Divine Liturgy, which lasted until 2 in the morning. A few hours of rest followed. After a light breakfast, the fathers began their obediences. Following Elder Joseph's experience, great importance was again placed on handicraft because it could easily be combined with the constant recitation of the Jesus prayer and completed without distracting the nose, the spiritual intellect. At midday, after the service of the small paraclesis to the Theotokos, the meal was served. A short period of rest followed. Toward evening, Vespers was celebrated, after which a light refreshment was offered, followed by compline. Then, after a short break, the nightly vigil began again and included everything already described. In time, this vigil schedule proved difficult for the fathers, exercising the discernment he had learned from his elder. Father Joseph therefore decided that the vigil should be held in two stages, with a period of rest between them. The first stage included the office in the cell, lasting until midnight. The second stage consisted of the Divine Liturgy, which began at 4:30 in the morning, preceded by the reading of the prayers before Holy Communion and the hours. In 1987, Father Joseph and his now numerous brotherhood left the cell of the Annunciation in Nea Skete. At the urging of the Ecumenical Patriarchate and with the approval of the Holy Community of Mount Athos, they moved to an unstaffed Vatopedi Monastery on Mount Athos, which at the time was almost abandoned in ruins and governed under the ideorhythmic system. At Vatopedi, another great chapter in the history of contemporary Cypriot monasticism began to be written. In 1991, Archbishop Chrysostomos of Cyprus made an official visit to Mount Athos. At that time, the protos of the Holy Mountain was Father Athanasios of Vatopedi. He had known his beatitude since 1973, when he first lived at the metropolis of Paphos, and from 1976 had served as his deacon. The Archbishop's time with Father Athanasios awakened in his soul the desire that Athanasios return to Cyprus with a small group of monks, with the aim of spiritually renewing the people on the foundation of patristic tradition. Following their conversations on Mount Athos, in January 1992 the Archbishop telephoned Father Athanasios and invited him to Cyprus so that he could officially convey his intention to have him released from Vatopedi Monastery to serve in the Church of Cyprus. Obeying the Archbishop's invitation, Father Athanasios came to Cyprus, accompanied by his elder, Joseph. Together, the two Athonite fathers met twice with the Archbishop at the Archdiocese. This is confirmed by the minutes of a meeting of the Council of Elders of Vatopedi, dated January 4, 1992. The Archbishop of Cyprus did not end his efforts there. On June 10, 1992, he sent a letter to Father Athanasios in which he once again set out in writing his aforementioned intention and desire. He invited him to Cyprus so that together they might consider the practical questions that would arise from the coming of Father Athanasios and the other fathers. I shall omit the texts. In response to this letter from the Archbishop of Cyprus, the Council of Elders of Vatopedi Monastery considered the matter in a session lasting many hours. In its own letter, dated July 13, 1992, it conveyed its decision to His Beatitude, stating that with fear of God and after much consideration, we would send our aforementioned brother to you with the customary 6-month leave from our monastery so that he might examine the matter on site and confer with your beatitude. Yet, as is clear from Minute 15 of the Council of Elders, Father Athanasios accepted this decision solely out of obedience. It is worth reading one or two paragraphs from the minutes. The Archbishop's letter was read, in which our brother, Elder Hieromonk Athanasios, is invited to go to Cyprus to assist the church there. Hieromonk Athanasios then spoke and declined the invitation, in view also of all that had been said in previous years, expressing on the one hand, he expressed his respect for the Archbishop's invitation, which was in every way praiseworthy and an honor to him. At the same time, however, he expressed his fervent desire never to be separated from the Holy Mountain, since he did not believe that he possessed the abilities required to meet the many great needs of Christ's Church militant in the world. After an extensive discussion concerning his refusal, the Venerable Elder Joseph urged Hieromonk Athanasios to go to Cyprus, since the Church, through her primate, the Archbishop, was calling him. The fact that he himself did not wish to go offer the sure guarantee that the work would succeed, provided that we all submitted to the will of the Lord and sought this alone, the will of the Lord and not worldly comforts. The Holy Synaxis then unanimously decided that the aforementioned brother, Elder Athanasios, should go to Cyprus with the customary six-month leave. In Cyprus, he was charged to labor within the Church for the glory of Christ and the salvation of souls, teaching what he had heard and learned from our Venerable Father and from the Holy Monastic Commonwealth of the Fathers, while remaining faithful to the ethos and tradition of Athonite monasticism. He was to conduct himself with the fear of God and great exactness, always keeping in mind the sacred legacy of Orthodox spiritual life and experience handed down by our blessed elder, Saint Joseph the Hesychast. Following this development, and with the blessing of many Athonite elders, Father Athanasios came to Cyprus in the summer of 1992. His purpose was to find a suitable place in which to settle and to prepare the conditions for the arrival of the small monastic brotherhood that would accompany him from then on. After traveling around the island and receiving hospitality in various places, he withdrew to the Holy Land for about a month, after which he returned once again to Cyprus. There on September 14, 1992, after a group of three monks of Cypriot origin had meanwhile arrived in Cyprus from the Holy Mountain. Let us mention them by name, the late Arsenios, Father Akakios and Father Nicholas, now abbot of Mesa Potamos, who was then the novice Nicholas and in the world Cyprianos, they settled temporarily at the monastery of the priests in Paphos, which Nikephoros, the abbot of Kikos, graciously placed at their disposal. This small monastic brotherhood at the monastery of St. Nicholas of the Priests was not destined to remain there for long. Following an agreement between Archbishop Chrysostomos and Metropolitan Gregory of Kyrenia, Archimandrite Pavlos Mantovanis, then abbot of Machaeiras, assumed the office of Protosyncellus of the Metropolis of Kyrenia because of Metropolitan Gregory's illness. Acting as the Archbishop's representative, Father Pavlos presided over an electoral synaxis of the monastery's brotherhood on November 4, 1993. Which elected Hieromonk Athanasios of Vatopedi as its new abbot. After spending more than a year in Cyprus, Father Athanasios and his small brotherhood were transplanted from the garden of the Most Holy Theotokos to the monastery of the Most Holy Theotokos of Makeiras, where Archbishop Chrysostomos enthroned him on November 14, 1993. By settling permanently in Cyprus and assuming the abbacy of Makeiras Monastery, Father Athanasios also took responsibility for carrying out the work for which he had been called. In this endeavor, he was equipped, on the one hand, with the spirit and ethos of the Athonite monastic patristic tradition, which he could now readily transplant and cultivate in Cyprus, since the grace of God had appointed him abbot of a monastery, and on the other hand, with the legacy of Orthodox spiritual life and experience that he had inherited through his elder, Joseph, from the great elder, Saint Joseph the Hesychast. In his enthronement address, Father Athanasios spoke as one who for more than a decade had drunk deeply from the ever-flowing streams of the blameless Athonite tradition and experience, springing from the sacred legacy of our blessed and ever-memorable most venerable elder, Saint Joseph the Hesychast. Day by day, my soul rejoiced upon that angelic and otherworldly mountain where we saw at close hand and touched with our own hands the reality of the theosis of the saints and the power of faith. I shall omit what followed at Makeiras with the late Arsenios and the establishment of a brotherhood at the monastery of the Honorable Forerunner under Nicholas. 1 minute in any case. Thus, the thread of the monastic legacy of Saint Joseph the Hesychast was carried on by his true spiritual descendants, foremost among them Father Athanasios in the men's monasteries of Makeiras and the Honorable Forerunner that they founded, as well as in the monasteries they guided spiritually, Saint Heraclidios, Panagia Amiros and Panagia Trikoukia. They and then their successors observed with complete exactness everything they had received. Elder Joseph's cell henceforth became a spiritual bridge, linking the cells of Saint Joseph the Hesychast with the monasteries in Cyprus under Elder Athanasios' spiritual direction. At Makeiras Monastery, and out of respect for the time, I shall read only this. The axis around which the entire spiritual program revolves is Hesychia, or inner stillness, obedience, perseverance in the Jesus prayer, and the regular confession of logismoi, or intrusive thoughts, the monastery's daily 24-hour schedule, the arrangement sought in its buildings, and the understanding that governs the monks' assigned obediences are all ordered so that the monks are given an opportunity for hesychasm each day. Hesychia helps them devote themselves to the Jesus prayer, to the struggle for an inner spiritual life and to nepsis, or watchfulness. The monastery follows an Athonite system and schedule, as practiced by St. Joseph the Hesychast. The day begins at 3:30 in the morning. From 4 until 8, the Brotherhood gathers for common worship in the main church. A light refreshment is then served, and the fathers depart for their obediences, which continue until noon. At that time, the paraklesis to the Theotokos is celebrated in the main church. The common meal follows and then rest until 4. After Vespers, a light refreshment is served, followed by Compline. After a short interval, the fathers withdraw to their cells, and here we see the influence of St. Joseph the Hesychast for their personal rule of prayer, which lasts 4 hours. I should emphasize that the same applies in the other monasteries. This spiritual struggle includes reading spiritual books, saying the Jesus prayer with the prayer rope, and making the appointed prostrations. 3 times a week, a vigil is held. It may be a single, double, or sometimes triple vigil, celebrated simultaneously by 6 fathers appointed by the abbot. In a chapel or a hesychasterium belonging to the monastery, the monks begin their personal rule of prayer in the afternoon and continue until 11:30, performing the office of matins with the prayer rope. At 11:30, they gather in the appointed place, and after the hours and the prayers before Holy Communion have been read, the divine liturgy is celebrated. This, of course, again follows the system of St. Joseph the Hesychast. Fathers appointed by the abbot withdraw into Hesychia in the monastery's Hesychasteria, where they perform the services of Vespers, Compline, the Midnight Office, and Matins with the prayer rope. Approximately the same pattern is followed in the other monasteries. I would simply emphasize that at the monastery of St. Heraclidios, a vigil is held every day except Saturday night. It lasts from the evening, beginning around 7 or 7:30, until 2 or 3 in the morning and includes various elements. On Sunday night, the vigil is performed solely with the prayer rope during exactly the same hours I have already described. Thank you. We thank the priest, Father Paraskivas, very much for his excellent presentation. Both he and I were compelled to shorten the allotted time, and I'm sorry for that. But we shall have every opportunity to read his text much more fully in the published proceedings.